90.5 WKHS, you're now listening to Fan Cam with Peter and Andrew, where you get to hear two friends talk about sports from a fan's perspective.
Week by week, we will be discussing score predictions, breaking sports news, your very own Trojan sports, and your favorite big-time teams.
Join us every Thursday to hear us learn more about sports and give our spin on the modern-day sports talk show, right here on 90.5 WKHS. Welcome back, everybody, to Fan Cam, a sports talk show where two friends give their opinion on sports. I am Peter, your host, joined by my co-host, Andrew.
Hey, everybody. How's it going, Peter?
It's going pretty good. It is the last episode of the year, so it's kind of weird to think that we started this all the way in September, and we are now 28 episodes in. We almost got to 30, but we had to get sick, and we had to break some arms, so yeah. We weren't able to make it, but 28 is still a lot of episodes, thinking like 28 weeks consistently that we were in here as long as we could. Like, there was no skipping a week. There was no nothing. If it was a holiday, obviously we weren't in. The school was closed. But other than that, we were pretty much in every week covering sports year round. We went from talking about the NFL every day to almost ending NBA. So we've gotten through pretty much two sports seasons in the time that we've done this, so kind of crazy, but we still got a lot of sports to get into. So Andrew, can you highlight some of the state finalists that happened over the past weekend?
Yes. So in tennis, Peter touched on last episode, Sebastian Cousineau made the state championships for tennis, and he advanced to the state final and sadly lost in the state final, but that's very good that he was able to get second place in the state as only a sophomore. So he still has two more years, and hopefully he'll be able to win next year. And then in track and field, they did very well at the state championship. They had a bunch of top 10 finishers, a couple medalists, and it was a great track and field representation at the state championship for Kent County.
And mind you, I've talked to Sebastian. He told me that the kid that he lost to, he's going to MIT. So this kid for tennis, he's like insane. Sebastian said, like, the games before him, it was like competitive, right? And then he got to this kid, and he was like, I've never seen nothing like him. Like, this, the kid that he lost to was super high level, right? MIT, the best school academically, and then you're going to play tennis there as well, which is probably one of their better sports at MIT. So kind of crazy to think that somebody's 1A, like going to a 1A school in Maryland, and they're heading to MIT. So it's crazy how you connect to these other schools. But like you said, Sebastian's only a sophomore. The kid he lost to was a senior. So I don't see Sebastian having any trouble the next 2 years. I think he could probably go back to back in state finals next year. But we will get into the NBA. The NBA playoffs are still going on. I think the last time we talked about it, it was early in the conference finals, but both teams have taken commanding leads. The Oklahoma City Thunder are up 3-1 against the Timberwolves as they head into Game 5. And then the Pacers and the Knicks are also, the Pacers are up 3-1 leading the Knicks as they head into Game 5 as well tonight. So I think it's way too far gone for these teams to come back, right? The Timberwolves just haven't been able to answer SGA at all. SGA's been putting up like 40-point games most recently. It's pretty hard to stop the MVP. And then on the other side, it's just been Tyrese Halliburton. He's been able to go off. He got a game-winning buzzer beater, or a game-tying buzzer beater, to send them into overtime, and then they won it in overtime. And I think that was the kind of bombshell that ended it all for the Knicks. They got one game, but it wasn't enough. They're down 3-1, and not many teams can come back from a 3-1 lead. And Indiana actually has gone through every series in a 3-1 lead. The Bucks, they beat 4-1. The Cavs, they beat 4-1. So they could probably beat the Knicks 4-1 as well, looking at their recent history. And then they'd probably go into the championship against the Thunder. And I think we both kind of predicted that, but we both said that the Thunder would win, right? SGA being one of the better players of all time, super dominant, just able to drive to the lane and get so many fouls. Do you think SGA is like a foul baiter, or do you think that it's just kind of how he plays?
I feel like people who are very good at getting to the foul line, it's part of their game. They know how to read their defender and make contact where they're going to get to the foul line. So I think a lot of people say, oh, he's just trying to get to the foul line and bait people for fouls. But it takes a lot of skills because, I mean, anybody can go out there and just flop and act like they got fouled. But to actually get the defender to physically foul you is something that's a lot harder to do than just go out there and act like you got fouled.
Yeah, and I mean, SGA's play style is very different to other players, right? Like, obviously, there's the superstar whistle, right, where the superstars will probably get a couple more calls. It happens every game on every team. It's not like it's just SGA. But if you drive to the basket five times and you get called a foul once, right, you're getting 20% calls. SGA's driving to the basket four times. He gets five foul calls. He's still getting, four foul calls. He's still getting 20%, right? It's the same percentage. It's just he's driving to the basket way more, so it looks like he has a better whistle. So I just think it's how SGA plays. I think, one, it's extremely difficult to stop him. His quick step, his speed, acceleration, you got to try and get in front of him somehow. And the only way is, right, you might be reaching a little bit, or if you're behind, he'll be able to slow down, get you over his back in a shoot, and that's a foul. Right? There's nothing you can do about it. It's just his play style. So, like I said, I don't think he's necessarily foul baiting. I think he's playing how he plays to get those extra points. But enough of NBA. Andrew, can you take it away with the MLB?
Yes. So the MLB season, another week has gone by. So it's time to take another look at the standings. Starting off with the division we always start off with, the American League East, the Yankees remain at number one in the AL East. They are 14 games above 500. Then the Rays are in second, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and the Orioles are in last. Now moving on to the American League Central, we have the Tigers in first, who are 16 games above 500. Then it's the Twins, Guardians, Royals, and White Sox. Moving on to the American League West, and probably the most tight division so far. Both teams don't have much separation throughout this whole division. The Mariners are 7 games above 500 and only a game and a half above Astros. And the Astros are only 3 games above the Rangers. The Rangers are only a game above the Angels, and the Angels are only 2.5 games above the Athletics. Now moving on to the National League. In the National League East, the Phillies are in first, followed by the Mets, Braves, Nationals, and Marlins. Now in the NL Central, the Cubs are in first. They are 13 games over 500. And then in second is the Cardinals, followed by the Brewers, Reds, and Pirates. And to round out the MLB standings in the National League West, the Dodgers stay hot and are atop of the NL West. They are 13 games above 500, and they are followed by the Padres in second, followed by the Giants, Diamondbacks, and Rockies.
Thank you, Andrew. That was our MLB standings. I'm actually going to see an Orioles game Friday. They play the White Sox, so the Orioles might actually be able to get a win when I'm in attendance. So if they do win, I'm going to credit it all to me. And if the Orioles turn around their season on a Friday, you know who to thank, because I gave them good luck. Hopefully it's a good game, although both of these teams aren't great. But usually when you have two teams that aren't great, they usually battle it out and it becomes a good game. So I'm excited to see that. And then right before we talk for a little bit, I want to highlight UFC one last time. I don't feel like we get to talk about it often, but the title fight this weekend between Sean O'Malley and Merab Dvalishvili, I think that's how you say it, is going off. This is their second time facing. Their first time, Merab won convincingly, and I see that going again, right? Sean O'Malley, he is the, I'd say, the social media personality of the UFC now. I feel like that's kind of the big social media guy that you see, right? It used to be Conor McGregor, who was the outlandish, right, hyped up kind of guy, a lot of tattoos, crazy hair, and that's very similar to how O'Malley is. He is extremely confident in himself, right? I think if, as a fighter, you have to be overly confident because you're going in there and you're basically fighting for your life. So I think you have to have that overly confidence. But, you know, O'Malley, he's young. He has those tattoos, the crazy hair. So almost in personality-wise, I wouldn't say skill level at all. He's nowhere near McGregor. But personality, he's kind of that big social media. And then Merab, you really don't hear about him, right? He's from Georgia. That's where he trains, and that's pretty much where he stays until he comes to the UFC fights. But like I said, Merab, he's a deadly, deadly guy. And the last time he fought O'Malley, he kind of just threw O'Malley off his whole game, right? O'Malley, he tries to go quick, and it just seemed like that didn't happen at all. So I have Merab taking it, but I just wanted to cover UFC one last time because I feel like we don't really get to cover it often, as you know, UFC only happens once every month, month and a half. So they aren't very consistent on how often they are doing their fightings. But we wanted to end the episode a little different, right? This is the last episode. So me and Andrew kind of just want to talk about what Fan Cam will be able to do for us our senior year, going into college, and just how it was a fun experience. So do you want to start, Andrew?
Yes. So this past year, I'm sure if we go back and look at the very first episode at the start of the school year, we were not as comfortable doing the show, and we definitely weren't as good organizing our time. And I feel throughout the past couple weeks and months, we've been able to get down our timing. We've been able to fit more sports into the show and also just get more confident talking about sports. So I think that's a big skill. And for me, I want to be a sports announcer. You guys may have heard me doing the football games the past 3 years, and me and Peter were able to do a basketball game this year. So I feel having this show and also doing play-by-play is going to be big in college, seeing that I will have already had experience doing stuff in the sports field. So Peter, you can take it away now.
Thank you. Yeah, I would definitely agree. I remember kind of when we first recorded the first episode, we didn't really know how it was going to go, you know, where we should even start, right? I remember making the intro that we've used the past, 28 episodes, kind of just writing it up, making mock. I think there's like two or three different intros before we settled down on the one we use now. So kind of just starting there with that level of preparation, and then coming in every week, getting our scores, getting what we want to talk about for the week. Like Andrew said, we've been able to fit in way more sports, right? We can probably go through 3-4 different sports, maybe 5 if we're moving quickly and we're just covering everything. But before, you know, we were struggling to get through the NFL, right? It seemed like there was so much information to cover, but I think we've kind of realized that not everything needs to be said, right? There's the important stuff, right? We only have 15 minutes, so we kind of learned how to condense it and be able to get the right information out in the more important stuff, instead of highlighting, right, that one player got 400 yards and then taking an extra 10, 15, 20 seconds talking about that when we could already be on to the next game or something. So things like that has definitely changed throughout the year, but definitely just like being able to talk about different sports, right? Like me and Andrew probably said, we don't watch hockey a lot, but we've been able to talk about hockey a couple of times. Or, you know, Andrew doesn't really watch UFC at all. I'm a big fan of UFC. So covering that, right, Andrew's gotten to learn about UFC a little bit. You guys who maybe not listen to UFC have maybe learned about UFC. Maybe you don't watch NFL, right? We've covered all these different sports that I feel like we've been able to expand our knowledge, not just on you know, basketball, football, like our main sports that we know, but we're able to go to everything. So I think it's definitely been a fun ride. Hopefully, if schedules align, we'll be able to do it next year. But that was it for the episode. If you are new and want to listen to any other episodes, you can go to FanCam anywhere you find podcasts. Or if you want to keep up with the news, you can go to FanCam_talkshow. But until then, we'll see you guys next year.